Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Andra Krishan, the CEO of Insightful HR Business Solutions. Good evening in your case, Andra. How you doing?
Hi, I'm great. How about you?
I'm good. It's early in the morning here. It's only 9 a.m. here. I think it's what, 7 p.m. there?
Yeah, it's actually evening. So yeah, good morning, good evening.
Yes. So can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Yeah, sure. So I'm an HR professional with 6 years experience, and it's especially on end-to-end recruitment. But I dedicated my time and my efforts exclusively for IT companies because it is a very dynamic industry and it's always changing. It's very challenging. It keeps me going. I have a bachelor degree in psychology, so talking about my academic background, I also have a master degree in organizational psychology. So I always looked through the glasses of an organizational psychology. I was more than a talent acquisition partner. I've wanted to be a real business partner, and I try to help organizations to reach their goals and grow in a healthy way. And I've started to my own business. It's actually a business consultancy company called Insightful HR Business Solutions, and we are offering a wide range of services, but firstly, we want to understand our customers' needs and try to come up with tailor-made solutions. Plus, we know that the process is at least as valuable as the outcome, so we are keen to be present in every transformational step of each client and be the as their business partner, as I mentioned.
Very good. So what has been your experience with remote employment, both as a remote employer and now as a, you know, someone who places remote employees?
So I started working from home since I started my own company in November last year. And I do not have employees, but I collaborate with 10 freelance recruiters. Part of them already have a full-time job on site, and some of them are fully freelancers, so they are also working from home. And depending on how much time they have free, they choose to work for me to take one or several projects. Not all of them are from Cluj, the city where I live, but we have a weekly status meeting on Skype or other video conference platforms. Related to hiring remote workers, I do have this experience as my portfolio includes both on-site and remote job openings. And it's a long story that I would tell you about the difference in hiring remote versus on-site programmers. But I can make it short for you.
Okay.
So what I observed is that the remote working programmer has a bit of a different psychological profile. It's a different mindset. They have different ways of working, different income and benefits. And of course, there are downsides of the work. Even though they have a significant larger income, for working remotely, they work more. They do not have the benefits that a regular employee would have by working on site. They do not have health insurance or performance bonuses or meal tickets or whatever. And they lack the support on creating a career path or having a developmental opportunity. They cannot interact with senior people on a regular basis, like a face-to-face interaction that you always have at hand while working on site with the whole team. So employers have to compensate at least a part of these downsides of their job. It's a challenging working environment on a very competitive market. So you do not have a choice. You need to adapt to their needs and somehow offer them similar aspects that they would normally have. So
I agree with you on that. They're also a different breed, I think, and they're a little different than the average person who wants to go into the office every day. So so what do you think is the future of remote employment, and what do you think can be done differently to make it more effective?
There are a lot of aspects. I would expect things to go more in this direction of remote working, but there are a lot of benefits of working and having this face-to-face interaction, so you cannot exclude those, because it has an impact on the productivity and that teamwork spirit that you have. And I'm always trying to see the bright side of everything. I want to make the most out of these virtual interactions. And I will give you an example that is somehow related to status inequalities. And by that, I mean the face-to-face interactions versus the virtual teams. And what I've noticed, and I've studied psychology, as I mentioned, in face-to-face interactions, people do not contribute to conversation equally. Those with higher status tend to talk more. And there's an interesting shift in social behavior when it comes to virtual teams. This power and status differences are weakened. So decision-making occurs on the basis of task expertise rather than status, which is a great asset of virtual teams. And also email, for example, can have the same effect, acts as an equalizer because it is difficult for high status people to dominate the discussions. And technology can be empowering for women as well. I have found surprising results of several studies. For example, when a group of executives meet face-to-face, the men in these groups are 5 times more likely than women to make the first decision proposal. But when the same group meets via computer, women tend to make the first proposal as often as men. And additionally, another dynamic happens when interacting through email. People respond more openly and conform less to social norms, so they can focus more on the content of the tasks. So it's like a democratic forum, and it's less hierarchical.
Wow.
Another aspect is that in order to foster the team identity and increase satisfaction and motivation of team members, we can try, for example, as a solution for the future, we can try online team buildings or trainings, or even start with a face-to-face interaction to ensure social bonding and later engagement. So if you have virtual teams, you have to start with a little face-to-face interaction to bring together team members for a short experience. Face-to-face experience is often used by companies who want to lay a groundwork of trust and communication for later teamwork that will be conducted strictly electronically. Mm-hmm. And this humanizes people and creates expectations for team members to use in their subsequent long distance work together. And I've also was thinking about this idea to implement in the future, to introduce through video conference new team members to develop trust and relationships before going electronically, because we need to attach a face to a name. And there's another concept in the literature called schmoozing, which means superficial contact between people, that has this psychological effect of having established a relationship with someone. We are social creatures, so we need to do this. There are a lot of strategies like exchanging pictures, talking about your hobbies, or I don't know, getting acquainted to someone, saying something funny before getting down to business. There are, I don't know, low cost and very efficient, but of course this doesn't happen naturally. You have to start by describing yourself and giving this personal example, like, I don't know, talking about your passions.
Wow, that's all a lot of very interesting things you said there. And I'm curious, do you have any idea why the one thing you talked about, the difference in face-to-face, where the men are more likely to offer solutions as opposed to remote, why, any idea on the psychology behind that?
Why it happens?
Yes.
I think it's something related to status as well, as I mentioned. Because there are some, so for example, I used to work in a corporate environment and we had this diversity project. It was a global project. And I used to work with the whole talent acquisition team, and a lot of people were involved in the same project. And this about the gender diversity, and of course in other countries it was a real issue, but I've noticed by analyzing data that it's not the same situation in Romania, for example. In within the IT company that I worked for, there were 60% males and 40% females. So it wasn't really an issue, and we were trying to, I don't know, keep this balance and just let female express themselves and empower them to, I don't know, occupy higher roles within the organization. So it's, I think it's up to each organization how to put things in order to make have this in mind with the gender balance.
Interesting. So what is the story behind Insightful HR Business Solutions, and what's the journey been like?
It started last year. There were a lot of circumstances. Someone very close to me wanted to reach out to me and propose me a collaboration. And I had to make an invoice to help him with the recruitment part. So firstly, I didn't take it so seriously. I mean, I didn't envision myself as an entrepreneur. I had my doubts. I thought maybe I'm just too young, or I still have things to learn. I should stay more in, I don't know, as an employee. And but then I realized that I had a lot of a large network that I can benefit from, and it was really easy for me to get new projects and start things. Because, for example, in 2 weeks, I got 150 roles.
Wow.
And it was just too much. And I, of course, I had to collaborate with others. So this was the easy part. And of course, the challenges were quite the same, because in this industry, you have to work hard And it's frustrating because the result doesn't always depend on you that much. I mean, of course, the effort counts, but you have to take into account the availability of the programmers, the budget, the project, the tech stack. So there are a lot of factors involved.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that doesn't change for mm-hmm. me. And I wanted to have this experience of owning a business consultancy and doing things on my own. But at first, it wasn't something that I wished. I didn't feel it is the time to do that. But then I realized that I have the skills, I have the knowledge, and I can really be... I can really start this on my own.
Very good. So how did you incorporate the idea of remote at your company? It sounds like it happened recently. So I think, have you been remote since day one?
Yeah, so my home, and I guess it can be a problem. My home is my office. So mm-hmm. it's a very thin boundary between... the personal life and the work life. So I'm working from home, yeah, as most of the freelance recruiters do.
Mm-hmm.
But in time, things may change and I would have to adapt to new ways of working. It depends on how big we grow, and I may need to hire people. And needless to say, it implies some positive aspects like flexible working hours.
Mm-hmm.
I can decide when I'm starting my day or, and of course the downsides are there because there are situations when I really miss the face-to-face interactions.
Yeah.
I used to work in a corporate environment and there was hectic. It was very fast paced and, mm-hmm. I kind of had the same portfolio. I had over 100 roles and I was interacting with 60 hiring managers at once. So yeah, things have changed and now I have to visit my clients, but the meetings are not so frequent. It's not like a weekly check or something. There are no global projects. I have to reinvent myself. And of course, this crisis has affected my business. So, yeah, you always have to keep up and try to do things differently or, I don't know, think about other services, be more present in the social media and things like that.
Yes. So, and you mentioned the crisis, which is the pandemic going on right now. Has that caused any major roadblocks or challenges that you didn't expect?
Well, it has struck me. I mean, the portfolio has decreased. For example, I used to have a lot of roles from the automotive area.
Mm-hmm.
And they are all put on freeze.
Hmm.
So I have to focus on a few roles. And things have changed because there, for example, if there is a new project, you receive the request today and maybe the next day they already put it on hold or, I don't know, covered the roles by using internal resources. So, yeah, it's a bit of a challenge. For example, if I wanted to hold trainings, some people are not so open to for me to hold them online. They prefer the face-to-face interactions. So,
yes.
Finally,
there are companies like Gaper that help develop, build, and scale products. How important do you think this will be going forward? And we're in this very similar industry. You handle a slightly different part of it. How important do you think that is, and how much collaboration do you think there will be between companies like Gaper and yours?
What Gaper has to offer is any hiring manager's dream, because we all want pre-vetted employees that are available right away at an affordable price. And everyone looks for an optimal cost-benefits balance when it comes to hiring tech resources. And that translates into a qualified and a good fit between the candidate and the client. Plus, every startup brings into discussion very often the financial aspect, and every penny counts for them. So they would benefit from partnering with Gaper without question. And Gaper has also this advantage of a noticeable experience in building software development teams. Mm-hmm. So the expertise is there, and it has also a focus on the human factor. It's very people-centric, as I've noticed, which is something that I really value and I'm really looking for. And another aspect that I've noticed while I was doing some research is the fact that they support female programmers, and that is such an empowering message. It feels good to read about the success stories of women working in this industry. So this gender diversity is not only something nice to have. We sometimes forget that this comes with diversity in skills and perspectives.
Yes. And to just give you a little background, about the female aspect of it, my daughter has her master's in computer science from Carnegie Mellon, and she currently works at Google. So
that's cool.
I wholeheartedly endorse females in technology. So
great to hear.
Yes. And I think she's one of the smartest technologists that I know, to be honest. She's a very intelligent woman. So.
Oh my God, you're so proud.
I am. I'm a proud dad. I know. And my son's in IT too, but since we were talking about women, I'm also proud.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we're a geek family. So, Andre, this has been great, very insightful. You have some very interesting things going on, and I'd like to thank you for your time today, and I wish you luck in the future.
Thank you for having me.
All right, thank you for joining us. Have a great night.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.